Today we're going to be continuing on with Semester 3, Healing School Semester 3. This module is entitled The Armor of God, Part 1, Introduction. Armor of God, the Introduction. In a day like we are living right now, understanding the armor of God is very important, both for us in terms of our own protection, but also in terms of ministering to those around us, understanding who we are in Christ, who Christ is in us, so that we can, in the power of the Holy Spirit, encased in the armor of God, be able to be the light and salt and hope that this world needs. In Revelation chapter 7, verses 3 and 4, it talks about, this is when the seals were being opened, and he specifically says in there, do not harm the earth, and particularly the 144,000, until they are sealed. And we've come to understand that that sealing means that they've received Jesus and become sealed in the Holy Ghost. In Ephesians chapter 4, verse 30, it says that it's through the Holy Spirit that we are sealed until the day of our redemption. So there is a sealing that takes place, a bubble, so to speak, that surrounds us. You know, we've always used in the past the illustration of the Abrams tank. Well, you know, the Abrams tank is kind of passé these days. The most recent and the best tank now is called the Challenger 2. And it has the most sophisticated armor to be able to protect the persons that are inside. So when we think about the sealing of the Holy Spirit around us, think about it like being in that Challenger 2 tank, where nothing of the enemy can penetrate us at all. The only opportunity that the evil one has against us is when we open up the tank and pop our head out. In other words, spiritually speaking, when we put ourselves in a position where we are no longer in the tank, we are in the process of sinning, we are moving out of the kingdom of God, and we expose ourselves to the enemy. And in this day and age, the one thing we don't want to do is expose ourselves to the enemy. We need to continue to be in the kingdom of God, to continue to be in the armor of God, which we'll be talking about today. That is our protection. That is our protection, that sealing of the Holy Spirit around us. Let's look at the overview. The armor of God gives us the ability in the spiritual realm to stand against and prevail over all the wiles, the trickeries, the deceptions of the devil. When we understand the armor and the purpose of it, and then apply it in our lives as part of our normal lifestyle, we will successfully withstand as a super conqueror in the days of evil. And we could say that these days are those days of evil that we can be protected in. Let's, if you have your Bible in one form or other, I would like for you to turn to Ephesians chapter 6, please. Ephesians chapter 6. I want us to read this passage. Ephesians chapter 6. We're going to start in verse 10 through 18. starting in verse 10. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand, stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace, above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith you shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked, and take the helmet of salvation, and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Verse 18, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and all supplication for all saints. So this is the passage of the armor of God. And as we go through it today, we want to look at it in two different ways. First of all, it is a protection for ourselves. For ourselves, for our families, for those that we love. It is a protection for us. But it is not just a protection for us. It is also an armor of warfare. Because we need to not just be focused on us, making sure we've got all the toilet paper and water that we need. Seems to be the craze in this world. By the way, I read an article yesterday, and even though the stores may be out, there is not a shortage of paper products in the world. The United States makes 90% of its own products like that, and the factories are ramping up their production and to meet the need. Praise the Lord. So, but we need to not just see it as a way of protecting ourselves, but then using the armor as a fight against the evil one in spiritual warfare to do what God has called us to do as the children of the Most High God. So we are mighty warriors for the kingdom as we are in that armor being protected ourselves. Let's go on to part A, defining the armor of God. Number one, put on the whole armor of God. The whole armor. We can look at it in two different ways. One is to be able to be sure to put on the individual parts of the armor. There are, you could say six, or maybe you can want to add the prayer as a seventh part of the armor, but we are to put on all the parts of the armor. It's just like a soldier wouldn't go into battle, you know, without his shield of faith or his breastplate of righteousness. We need to have all the armor. But we also need to see it as a whole, that it is the whole armor of God, so that we are seeing it as we move forward in our life, that this armor is what protects us. This armor is what also gives us the ability to war against the deceptions of the evil one. Number two, the armor is an understanding and a believing in our heart of all that Jesus has done for us that protects us from being deceived by the devil. The armor is both defensive and offensive. We're not going to talk in detail about the specific parts of the armor today. We're going to do that in a few weeks when we have part two. But I want to give us a little bit of a preview of what I mean by understanding and believing in our hearts, how the armor, that's what it is. It's not something physical, obviously. It is something that is in our heart because we believe it. Notice there, if you still have your Bible available, notice there, starting in verse 14, it says, "Stand therefore," and then it starts to list the parts of the armor. The first three, those are the ones I specifically want to talk about today. The first three, it says, "having your loins girt about." And then it says in verse 15, or going on to verse 14, I'm sorry, "having on the breastplate of righteousness and your feet shod." Now the implication there is that having would continue on into that part of it also. So the first three use having. The second three, starting in verse 16, it says, "and taking the shield of faith." Verse 17, "and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit." And the implication there is also the same thing. Take the sword of the Spirit. And then, of course, verse 18 says, "then praying." But notice there, those first three, having. We stand having. In other words, it's something that's already in place. It is a foundation. The first three are foundational to our walk with the Lord, foundational to the armor. Then the last three, and I'm not including prayer when I say the last three. The last three, then, is something that because of the foundation that is already there, we then take the helmet of salvation, the shield of faith, and the sword of the Spirit. It's something then that we add. We take it to ourselves. So as we look at this next time, we're going to learn that these all correspond with the pentecotomy. Spirit, heart, soul, mind, body, and then our words and our works. So I want to look at those three within that context, those first three. Starting in verse 13. Verse 14. "Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth." That's talking about the spirit of man, because around the loin is this belt of truth. It protects life, because that's where life comes from. So in terms of our spirit, the spirit of man is where the life of God comes from. So we need to understand about our spirit, and that when we receive Jesus into our life, we received all of God. Christ in you, the confident expectation of glory, the hope of glory. And that word glory there, you know, we think of it in terms of, you know, we can say things like his manifested glory, but it goes beyond that. It's not just the fact that his glory is coming through our life. It's in us, and it is the expectation that there will be the manifestation of his glory. But what the glory does is that it has an effect on things, on people around us. Just like when we see the glory of God, Isaiah chapter 6, they saw the glory of God. Isaiah saw the glory of God, and when he saw the glory of God, it impacted him. When people see the glory of God in us, it's more than just it showing in some way, it is also impacting them. We also know from Colossians chapter 2 verses 9 and 10, that all of God who dwelt in Christ, and all of Christ dwells in us, therefore we are complete in him. So in our spirit is all that we need. In our spirit is God that is living there. So part of this armor is understanding who Christ is in us. When we think about our life, when we think about the things that go on in our life, the things that are coming against us, we always need to remember and understand and have faith in the fact that God is in us. And therefore, we can do all things through Christ, through the Anointed One that strengthens us. Where does that strengthen come from? It comes from our spirit. We release it. Out of your belly shall flow rivers of living water. He spoke this talking about the Holy Spirit. John chapter 7. Then the next one is having the breastplate of righteousness. This is talking about who we are in Christ. Who Christ is in us. Who we are in Christ. We understand our righteousness. That we are before God without sin. He doesn't hold anything against us. It can give us and does give us a confidence. Because when we have doubt, unbelief, guilt, condemnation, because of the things that we have done, we are saying that, God, we don't believe that you have forgiven us of all of our sins. No, we need to say, you know what? I stepped out of bounds. I sinned. I transgressed. I let this iniquity in my heart manifest itself in a way that was sin. But God has forgiven me. So we always have the understanding of who we are in Christ, that we are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. That is who we are in Christ. And because of that, we can do what he has commanded us to do. We can, as it says in 1 John 3, we can not draw back because we have lost confidence in who God is in us. No, we can say, you know what? It doesn't matter what I've done. God is still God and he still lives in me and I'm going to do what he's called me to do. Then he says, and then having shod our feet with the preparation of the gospel. This deals with our soul. In case I didn't say it, the righteousness, the armor of God, that is the shield, I mean the breastplate of righteousness, deals with the heart. Our feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace deals with our soul. The direction of our life. When we understand who Christ is in us, who we are in him, it should set our soul in a direction towards him. So when we have studied the word, when we have understood fully who we are in Christ and who Christ is in us, then it sets our life in a direction. Our feet are shod with the preparation of the gospel. We are always ready with an answer because we know who Christ is in us and who we are in Christ. So these are just three of these. But see, by understanding, so no matter what the evil one throws against us, we know, wait a second, I know who God is in me. And I know who I am in God, and I have set my life in accordance with him. I've come into alignment with him. My soul, my desires, my ambitions, my goals are all set on him. It makes us untrippable by the evil one. Because he can come with us and say, you know what? Look what you just did. And you call yourself a Christian? Look at how you're reacting. Do you call yourself a Christian? We can say, you know what? I may have done that. But I know I have been forgiven. And I know who Christ is in me, so I'm going to continue to move forward. So no matter what the evil one tries to bring, we can be settled in who we are in Christ. Amen. And that's just the first three. And that's not even everything. So, going on, number three, we wear We are to wear the armor at all times as an integral part of our lifestyle, so that it is part of our spiritual weapons. The weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they are mighty through God to the pulling down of the stronghold, 2 Corinthians 10, 3 and 4. So when we have the armor of God and we are walking in it, it will tear down the strongholds in us, but it will also tear down the strongholds that the evil one is bringing to this world, the deceptions that he has brought to the hearts and the minds of men. The purpose of the armor. Jesus defeated the evil one thoroughly on the cross. We talked about that a few weeks ago. Colossians 2:15, and having spoiled principalities and powers, he made a show of them openly, triumphing over them in it. He displayed Satan as completely defeated, stripped, spoiled, and maimed, so that he shows that he has no power. The only thing that the devil has, the only weapon he has, is deception. He uses our power against us. He deceives us into thinking wrong, into acting wrong, and it takes us down the wrong path. So as we understand what the armor is for, it helps us to overcome the evil one. Let's look at those scriptures there in, that should be 1 Corinthians 11, 2 through 3. For I am jealous over you with godly jealousy, for I have espoused you to one husband, that I may present you as a chaste bride, chaste virgin in Christ. But I fear, lest by any means, as the serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety, so your minds should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. So he is always looking for ways to deceive. 2 Timothy 2, 25 and 26, scripture we've looked at many times. In meekness, instructing those that oppose themselves, if God peradventure will give them repentance to the acknowledging of the truth, that they may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil, who has taken them captive at his will. So we see here that diabolical intoxication caused by our sin. So he is trying to deceive us, to take us captive. But the armor of God, the armor of God protects us in the evil day by helping us to understand and stand against the wiles, the trickery of the devil. Look at Ephesians 6, 11 and 13. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. So the armor helps us to stand against his trickeries, against his lies. And in verse 13, wherefore take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day. To be able to withstand in the evil day. We'll talk a little bit more about standing and withstanding and such in a moment. So that is the purpose of the armor, to keep us from being deceived, to keep us from the lies of the enemy. When we know what Jesus has done for us, that we have been healed by the stripes of Jesus, when the evil one tries to bring some kind of sickness or disease our direction, some kind of infirmity to our bodies, we know this isn't right. I am not going to be deceived by this. I have been healed by the stripes of Jesus. And if Moses at 120 can have his full vigor in his life and his eyes not be dim, then by gum, by golly, so can I at the tender age of 65. Amen. 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 So we don't give in to the lies of the enemy. That this and that, and this is the way it is, and this is the way it's going to be, and so on. No, we know who we are in Christ, so we don't give in to his deceptions. Focus, the focus of the armor. Know your enemy. It is not you, nor the person or the persons that you see. Ephesians 6, 12a, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood. Now, yeah, we may have our challenges. And we may have things that we do that we know we shouldn't do. We may have things that we think that we know we shouldn't be thinking. But that doesn't mean that it comes from us because of who we are in Christ. We don't wrestle against those things. We wrestle against the demons, devils, and evil spirits behind it. The same thing is true when we're dealing with people in our lives. Yeah, they can be nasty. They can be mean. They can say things. But it's not them. It's the deceptions of the evil one in their lives. So just as you are struggling with things in your life that the evil one is behind in some way, they're going through the same thing. So we're not wrestling against them. We're wrestling against the demons, devils, and evil spirits that are influencing, motivating them. Ephesians 6:12 tells us that we wrestle against principalities, powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against the spiritual wickedness in high places. We contend with the devil and his kingdom of darkness, which motivates flesh and blood through deception. So we need to take authority over the demons, devils, and evil spirits behind the people, behind the incidences, behind even the stuff in our own lives, and to cast them out of our lives, to cast them out of those situations. And then we need to minister, as we talked about a couple weeks ago, minister to those that have been deceived as God gives us opportunity. Number three, we are seated with Christ in heavenly places. And it's in a place of authority. He has raised us up together and made us to sit in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Ephesians 1:20 through 21 says, which he, God, wrought in Christ, talking about the power that raised him from the dead, which God wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in heavenly places. And that is the place of authority. And it's far above all principality, power, might, dominion, and every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come. And so, Jesus has been raised up. We have been raised up with him and seated with him in heavenly places far, far, far above all these principalities and powers and might. So, the armor shows us that even more explicitly, that we have authority over them. It is our protection against the onslaught of the devil's lies and deceptions for our lives and in this world. The attitude of the armor. Number one, receive these instructions as a military command. Each verb is in the imperative. So he's saying there, remember, this is a military context, this passage, the armor of God. Paul, when he was writing this, very likely was sitting down, writing, but standing next to him was a Roman soldier. May not have had all of these attributes of the armor on him, but he had some of them. Probably had the belt around him. Probably had possibly had the breastplate. Probably had his sword. Probably had his feet shod. And Paul is sitting there in that context, looking at that soldier, and God is giving him revelation about spiritual warfare. And so when he writes this, he's not saying, you know, if you think it's a good thing, you might want to think about being strong in the Lord. No, he is giving a command. Be strong in the Lord. Put on the whole armor of God. Take up the whole armor of God. And stand, therefore. These are all in the Greek in the imperative, in the command mode. So we don't receive these as just suggestions. We receive them as commands. So we are part of the army of God. We are warriors in and for the kingdom. And so we need to take our instructions from the commander-in-chief as commands. Be strong, put on, take up, and stand. So that's part of our attitude, is that we receive them as commands. Okay, Lord, you have spoken, and I'm going to do. But then how do we do it? What attitude do we have in doing it? Notice number two there, stand against. It means to be upright in an active position that confronts and pushes back. Ephesians 6:11 tells us, put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against. That's what stand against means. So it's not just sitting there with our hands in our pockets, being very casual about things. No, it is a military stand. It is an active stand. Verse 3, to withstand. That is to oppose, to resist. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand. That is to oppose, to resist in the evil day. So when the evil day comes, you don't just crumble under it. As one minister always says, like a $2 suitcase. No. We are to stand, to oppose, to withstand. No, we don't give in to this. We stand against it. We oppose it. See, that is our attitude as things come against our lives, because we know who we are in Christ. No, I'm not giving in to this. Number four, having done all to stand, stand therefore. Again, upright, active, aggressive, pressing against the opposition. So we are to stand. To have that military, or you might want to even say an athletic thing. You know, when the football players are lining up on the line, they're not just sitting there waiting for the ball to be snapped. You know, they are down, they are in position, they have their feet dug in, they are ready to go when the command is given. Using the armor. Meditate and study the various aspects of the armor as a soldier studies his equipment and weapons. And those of us, or some of us that have been in the military, understand that better than those of us who haven't. But you get to know your weapon inside and out. Whether it be the gun, whether it be the big gun that you're in charge of shooting off, you know, whether you're on a ship or something like that. I mean, you know that gun. You know how it works. You know what you're supposed to do. You know the procedures that make that gun work. In the same way, we need to know the armor of God. We need to understand how it protects us. We need to understand how it is used as a weapon, how we use the sword of the Spirit. And we've taught that, with affirmations, the words of our mouth. We are to know each aspect of our weapons and of our protection, to know it. 2 Timothy 2:15 says, "Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth." So study to show yourself approved. So in a couple weeks when we go through the armor, you need to take that piece of paper and study it and understand what it means to each part of the armor. And let God teach you, meditate on it, consider it, mull it over, ask God for insight and revelation on each part. Put on the armor by our words and our actions. In other words, faith. We do it by faith to get it into our hearts. The armor of God needs to become so natural to us, just like it is for most of us with healing. When an attack comes against us, we don't have to think twice. We know. No, I am not going to accept this. And I come against it in the name of Jesus. Pain, go, or whatever it might be. We stand against us. It becomes second nature. So every aspect of the armor of God needs to be second nature to us. In other words, it needs to be in our hearts so that there is no doubt in our hearts. And we then believe that what we say will come to pass, that it will come to pass in our lives. And number three, evaluate each thought against the Word of God, especially the fruit of the Spirit and the armor of God. Deception comes through our eyes, ears, and thoughts. So that's how the evil one, remember, the evil one is a physical entity in the sense that he can only attack us in the physical. He can attack us with our minds, our thoughts. He can attack us, which he's whispering into our consciousness. He can deceive us with things, with our eyes, things we see, things we hear. So we have to be on guard with those things. What are we seeing? Is what we are seeing reality, or is it a lie of the evil one? Is what we are hearing a lie of the evil one to try to bring fear? We need to evaluate that and say, wait a second, that's trying to bring fear. No, I don't accept fear in the name of Jesus. And of course, the thoughts, so that we are casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. So every thought should come under the fruit of the Spirit, the Word of God, the armor of God. So let's put on the armor of God so that we can stand against all the deceptions of the evil one. In Jesus' name, amen. 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 Thank you, Jesus.